Item number eight, William J. Maher.
Maher.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Kathy, I'll go right into the slides. Mr. Maher is requesting authorization to construct a 15-foot by 20-foot riprap breakwater, a 15-foot by 40-foot riprap breakwater, and 75 linear feet of riprap marsh toe sill, and to place 50 cubic yards of sand landward of the breakwaters as beach nourishment adjacent to his property situated along Stutz Creek in Middlesex County. The project is protested now by several nearby property owners and residents along the creek. Their protest letter has been added to your packet. It's more of a letter of concern and request for a study. This is the USGS topographic map of the project site. The arrow depicts the location of the project. Mr. Maher's property is situated along Stutz Creek at a tributary, Stutz Creek and Callis Creek, which is a tributary of Stutz Creek, in the Redard area of Matthews County. Development along this portion of shoreline is primarily residential. So a closer view of that same map. Callis Creek is the creek leading up here. There's actually several Callis Creeks in Matthews County. This is a navigational chart that shows Callis Creek. I added this to show that there is a fair amount of relatively deep water within the creek, and it also shows that narrow mouth and narrow channel leading into Callis Creek. This is the 2002 digital ortho photograph. You can make out the channel leading into the creek here. Mr. Maher's house is located right here. It's located over 400 feet landward of the project. It's clearly not threatened by erosion. The intent of the project is more to protect the sand beach and the migration of the spit landward. The plan view drawings, they're proposing to construct 75 linear feet of riprap sill, which is this area. The two breakwaters out front, and just now 50 cubic yards of sand placed landward of the breakwaters. They had originally proposed more. We mentioned that we had concerns with the placement of any fill down there. They have now requested just 50 cubic yards, as much for construction access as anything else. This is a plan view drawing that has the benchmark distances on it. I added this in just to show the relative location of the corner of one of the breakwaters to a green channel marker, marking the channel leading into Callis Creek.
And that was how many feet? Excuse
me. 30 feet.
30 feet.
Yes, sir. Although no dredging is proposed, the applicant provided this drawing to illustrate that the location of the riprap sill would not interfere with the dredging of the creek should it be needed in the future. It's a cross-sectional drawing of the breakwater and the proposed 50 cubic yards of fill, sandy beach fill, beach nourishment. This drawing was provided by the applicant. It's kind of a composite of two different surveys. And it was provided to show that the spit has experienced some erosion between a 1988 survey and January of 2006. You can see that in yellow is the 88, and in that brown color is the location of the 06 survey. Don't want to get into the mean low water and what elevation and everything this was taken at, but there does appear to be some migration of the spit landward. It is unclear, given given that they've actually accreted some sand over in this area, and I'm not sure what the height of that spit has done, whether there's been any actual loss of sediment along that spit. Just appears that the spit is rolling landward towards the creek a little bit. This is an aerial photograph taken in May of this year. Although we had received calls from two concerned residents along the creek, at the time of the evaluation, we'd not received an actual letter. We did receive a fax letter over the weekend, signed by Mr. Wilkinson and Mr. Sadler, that also included 10 additional signatures of residents along the creek, stating that they had a concern that the project may adversely affect the creek entrance, and they requested a study be conducted prior to the project being approved. That letter, as I mentioned before, has been added to your book. In their report dated February 8th of 2006, VIM states they believe the current proposal is an improvement over a previous application. They also stated that while there is some change occurring along the shoreline, it is unexpectedly slow given the exposed nature of the shoreline. They also note that the spit appears to be moving into the creek. VIMS is of the opinion that the beach nourishment sand will probably not adversely affect the channel. However, they do recommend the nourished area be sprigged with salt marsh cord grass and salt meadow hay rather than the proposed American beach grass, which is a little bit higher species. This is an aerial photograph looking generally toward the west. This is Mr. Maher's house. This is a pier slash bridge structure that leads to the spit. I believe it's set up so he can moor a boat along the bridge portion there. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries notes the presence of bald eagles and tiger beetles within 2 miles of the project site. They also note the presence of certain water bird species that are listed as special concern. They finally recommended compensating for any non-vegetated wetland losses. The Department of Conservation and Recreation notes the presence of several natural heritage resources in the vicinity, but they state that they do not believe the project will adversely affect those resources. This is a ground shot of the pier and bridge structure leading to the project site. And this is a final aerial. Kathy, you can get the lights up. Project has been revised several times in an attempt to address concerns expressed by both VIMS and staff. And the sill and breakwater appear to be appropriately designed to protect Mr. Maher's spit of land. Although the effectiveness of breakwaters is related to their ability to hold a beach landward of the structures, and most breakwaters are proposed with beach nourishment, staff is concerned with the intentional placement of additional sand so close to the narrow Callis Creek channel. This is especially true since Mr. Maher does not have any structures currently threatened by erosion, and the rate of erosion is relatively low at this site. Accordingly, we recommend approval of the sill and breakwaters, but we recommend denial of the placement of the sand for beach nourishment. Staff acknowledges that contractors often use sand nourishment as a causeway for construction access when building breakwaters. In this instance, however, we recommend the contractor use mats to access the site. If that is not practical, staff would recommend allowing the contractor to use a maximum of 50 cubic yards of sand to create a construction causeway, provided that the sand is removed and the intertidal and subtidal lands impacted are restored to their original pre-construction contours and conditions. Staff also recommends the applicant be required to install and maintain a piling-mounted sign at the corner of the breakwater closest to the channel to warn boaters of the submerged hazard. If approved, staff recommends, if approved per staff recommendation, we would not recommend the assessment of a royalty since the breakwaters are constructed of riprap and because any sand fill would be required to be removed upon completion of the breakwaters. Should the commission decide to approve the beach nourishment, staff recommends the assessment of a royalty in the amount of $5 per square foot for any submerged lands filled by the beach nourishment material. Be happy to attempt to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Neikert? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the fill is just sort of a best management practice question. I mean, is that, if that's properly sprigged, is that Is that not going to be sufficiently stable, in your opinion?
I don't know. Our concern is that there's such a narrow creek entrance going into the channel, and there's a lot of concern that, you know, placement of any sand in there might migrate into the channel. I'd hate, whether or not it was sand from their project, I'm afraid that the perception would be that is if that shoal pin, that they'd be pointing at this project,
okay.
Really.
And can you show us another, once again, the overhead that had the comparative surveys? One
yes.
was, what, 1988 and the other 2006?
Yep.
All right. So there's been a loss approximately. I guess there's been a loss of 25 feet of shoreline there at the very.
Yes, that area seems to be the most significant loss, and it just appears that it has kind of rolled back, you know, to this location. There's also been a loss of, I think they're showing about 12, 13 feet in this location.
And is the point where the sill would be located, isn't that roughly where the sill would be?
The sill is actually located along in here now,
right.
And then the breakwaters are out in this area.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Fox, how do they propose to construct this? Where, how are they going to, there's a marsh in here that they...
I believe the construction access is over the neighbor's property.
It's actually using it around.
Okay. And the breakwaters, you're not concerned about hazard to navigation?
No, not their location. And we would like to have them marked. And that was actually one of the recommendations by one of the residents along the creek. Since, you know, the toe of that structure is actually going to be submerged at most tide levels, you know, to mark that corner.
But the channel marker is right there.
Mr. Shue.
So.
Yes. So. There is a channel marker. I believe it's probably a private marker that's...
Okay.
You know, whether or not it's an authorized marker that's maintained on a regular basis, I don't know.
Chip, I have one question. You, in your evaluation, you state that we recommend the contractor use mats to access the site. If this is not practical to utilize mats, staff would recommend allowing the contractor to use a maximum 50 cubic yards of sand. What is the standard to determine practicality as far as this evaluation is concerned?
In this case, we'd leave it to them for that 50 cubic yards. We don't want them to use the sand if it's cost prohibitive for them to buy any kind of special mats they don't have at this time, or if the water gets a little too deep to use mats, and it's still cost effective for them to put 50 cubic yards of sand down and remove that sand, we'd say that would be okay.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Is the applicant here represented? Thank you, Chip.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, good to have you here again.
You ought to know
good
how to
be
run.
Back. I know. It's been a while, though. You don't have any ground shots, do you?
Just one of
Can you raise your right hand? Yep. You solemnly swear the testimony you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name and who you represent, please.
Yes. My name is Kevin Curling, Curling Environmental Consulting, LLC. I am the agent for the project. Also, the contractor is present if you have those questions. And it's good to be back before y'all.
Good to have you here.
Actually, I thought I would get back here with Mr. Pruitt, but congratulations.
Thank you.
As Chip said, this was not a protested project when it was first put on the agenda. I do know that there were concerns with the neighborhood. I dealt with them at the Wetlands Board. I spoke with several of the neighbors about the project over the past several months. If you look at the parcel map, there's approximately about 30 properties inside the creek. I did notice that I think there's about 10 signatures on the here. So there's at. I realize there are concerns over this project. However, it's not everybody on the creek has put a concern out. Since it is a protested project, I do want to go back and go over some other issues of the project, about the need for the project. What I would like to show is
two pictures. These pictures were taken in 2001. These were taken before the bridge was placed. This is Mr. Maher's house is in the back. And it's true that his house is not in direct contact with storm waves and things. However, what is protecting his house is the marsh. And what's protecting the marsh is the sand ridge in front. If you notice on this picture, there are four cedar trees right along the shoreline there. And this is just looking back the other way. This is Mr. Maher's house here, and this is the point of land. And you can see these four trees here. And that was 2001. This is a ground shot from 2001. This is Mr. Maher's backyard, which you can tell. It's a very gradual grade into the marsh, and then you see the four trees. Chip didn't have any ground shots of the waterfront, so I didn't bring any. Thought he would have had some. This is February 2006. And hopefully you can see both of these pictures. This tree here, which is also my benchmark tree on my drawings, is that tree right there. There's two. Those are two root mats there for that tree and that tree. They basically fell backwards towards the picture, and the root mats are still there. This little tree here, there's no evidence of that tree there anymore. That is that 24 feet of loss at the point that shows up on the survey. And then you also notice these trees to the side that are now dead. So there is some changes occurring out on that point. And our belief is that is the sand ridge that's protecting the marsh and protecting everything inland of that. That's all I have on those. You can turn the lights back on. So we believe it's a necessary project. It's the appropriate project. As far as the fill, I have modified this project four times. It started out, we relocated the breakwaters to move them out of the channel. One of the original VIMS comments suggested doing more of a beach behind the breakwaters, which put a lot of fill in. We removed that fill back, took it back to a low water marsh planting. We removed that based on staff's comments to at least allow construction access to get the contractor out of the water at low tide. If you notice my drawings, it's only enough fill to get him out of the water at low tide. He still will be restricted to only working basically half a day or half a tide cycle. As far as removing the material after he's done the work, we feel that once you put an access road out, the material gets compacted, it's in there, it's only going to be about 6 inches of fill anyway, that sometimes the impacts of removing the sand are worse than what's out there. We would prefer to do the fill for the construction access and then plant it to hold it, similar to what Mr. Robbins was inferring. The impact to the channel, we have tried our best to not impact the channel. That channel is filling in. I mean, it's been filling in, and the neighbors all agree to that over the past years, 5-10 years, it's filling in anyway. They naturally do that. There is sand in the system. If our breakwaters work as proposed, they'll collect some of that sand and keep it out of the channel. So we believe it'll actually also help keep the channel open to some extent. That's all I have to say.
Any questions of Mr. Curley? May have more later. Is there anyone in the audience in support of this project other than the applicant, the contractor? Is there anyone in the audience opposed to this project? not, the matter's before the commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fox.
Could we have any comments from BIMS on whether they continue to believe that the sand should be removed of the access road, or whether it would do more damage to leave it or to take it away?
If you desire to have comments from BIMS, I think we can manage that.
Okay.
Ms. Hammond.
Commissioner Fox, to address your concerns or even just your question.
For the record, please state your name.
Commissioner Bowman, I'm David O'Brien from
Virginia
Institute of Marine Science.
Thank you, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioner Fox, the placement of the access material, or the material that the contractor used to access the location of the breakwaters, you know, as far as whether or not removal of that material would be a greater impact to the system than simply leaving it in place, if the material was placed on filter cloth, and as the agent has stated, 6 inches of material would be placed on top of that, I don't understand why that could not be removed without a significant impact to the system. However, if it was going to be left in place, obviously we wouldn't want to see the filter cloth used. So it's probably 6 and 1/2 dozen or the other as far as how the commission would want to approach that. If you are interested in addressing the concerns of adjacent property owners or property owners who live inside the creek, then obviously I think the use of the sand may be to be avoided.
Any other questions?
Do you feel that this system will collect the incoming sand that is, you know, coming in with the tide flow?
Commissioner Schick, that's a very difficult thing to say. Any sort of offshore structure, you know, we have to admit, it is often more of a black box than science, the way that these systems can sometimes operate. It is our opinion that they will capture what sand is available. I think the fact that the spit seems to be rolling back inside itself or into the creek is indicative of the fact that perhaps there is less sand available in the system now than there has traditionally or historically been. So that spit is rolling inward, which is natural condition for a situation where there's less sand in the system than there has been in the past. So it will likely capture what sand there is. It may bypass the system and move, you know, continue to move into the creek. It's just difficult to tell.
But you don't feel that it'll cause a problem where it'll aid to filling in the channel. I know it's hard to tell, but
anything can happen. I won't say that is absolutely not a possibility. Anytime you place structures on the shoreline, there are going to be potential adverse secondary impacts, and that indeed is one.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Matters before the commission, Pratt? Mr. Fox.
Mr. Chairman, I will move that we approve the silt in the breakwaters, but deny the permanent placement of the sand for beach nourishment, or deny the placement of sand for beach nourishment. We will allow the sand or mats to be used for construction purposes, but if sand is used, the sand would be put on top of filter cloth so that it could be easily removed after the construction.
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Any further discussion to the motion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Thank you. See you, Kevin. Next item on the agenda is a carryover item from last month.
Mr. Chairman, I will note that Mary Hill has appeared.
That's correct. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Excuse me. That's where you're going?
That's where we're progressing.
Oh,
thank you, sir, very much. Certainly appreciate it. Commissioner Pruitt directed that a report be made pertaining to Ms. Mary Hill's oyster planting ground situation. After receiving and reading the minutes of the previous meeting, I have directed staff to provide what I believe to be a comprehensive report. But in order to get the gist of the entire matter.